For Palestinians living in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, water has been a struggle for years. But since Israel's war with Gaza began in October of last year, it's been even harder to come by. In rural areas, freshwater springs are being taken over by hardline Israeli settlers, while many Palestinians living in cities say that tap water now flows much less frequently, sometimes just once a month. As NPR's Kat Lonsdorf reports, it is one of the less obvious ways life has become more difficult for Palestinians in the West Bank.
Young boys splash and jump in the Aouja spring near Jericho. It's a hot summer day, nearly 100 degrees, and the sun beats off the dusty landscape of the Jordan Valley. Nearby, 24-year-old Mansour Arara sits with friends in the shade of a tree, keeping an eye on the boys. We were so happy to get here today and not get stopped by the soldiers, he says. He says this is the fourth spring they tried today. The other three were blocked by Israeli settlers with the help of the Israeli military. He says they've tried to come to this spring on other days, and Israeli soldiers blocked them, telling them that since October 7th, when the Hamas-led attack on Israel sparked the current war in Gaza, they were now forbidden from coming here. Meanwhile, he could see Israeli settlers using it. A few months ago, settlers established a new outpost just a few hundred feet from the spring. It's illegal under both Israeli and international law, but increasingly common.
I think within a year, it might just be totally off limits to Palestinians.
That's Sarit Michali of B'Tselem, an Israeli human rights organization that tracks abuses in the West Bank. She visits the Al-Uja spring often. In the weeks since NPR was there, she says settlers have encroached even further. The spring isn't just for cooling off during hot summer days. It's a vital water source to the nearby Palestinian towns, farms, and sheep herders. Settlers taking over water sources isn't a new phenomenon, but it has increased dramatically since the war began. Dozens of new settler outposts like the one near Al-Uja have been built since then, often near or around natural water sources traditionally used by Palestinians. And Michali says it's not random.
It's not some sort of coincidence. It's done deliberately in order to take over land. The settlers talk about it openly. They make videos about it. None of it is a secret. It's done in both financial support and also security support of all aspects, all parts of the Israeli government and Israeli authorities.
Israeli government policy in the West Bank, bolstered by ultra-nationalist lawmakers who have become powerful in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government, encourages the expansion of illegal settlements and instructs the Israeli police and military to protect them. 70-year-old Samhan Shirete welcomes us into his home in the town of Mazra'a al-Gharbiya on the other side of the West Bank. His daughter pours us water from a plastic bottle. He tells us that for as long as he can remember, every morning he would go to the water spring nearby to get water for his family. But on October 8th, the day after the war started, he says settlers were blocking it. They had guns. They threatened to shoot him. He says he thought they would kill him. He hasn't been back since, but he gets close enough to see that they're still there guarding the water. Losing access to that nearby spring meant Shrete's family now has to rely on water from their pipes, something that was already unreliable before October 7th, but now has become even more so. On this day, the taps are dry. He says there hasn't been water for 20 days. So he has to buy water from a water delivery service. He shows us how they store it in tanks and buckets outside the house. He says he's paying five times as much for water as he did before October 7th. And they ration water like never before, laundry only once a week, limited showers and cleaning, watering the garden only when necessary. In the distance is the established Israeli settlement of Harshan. You can hear the steady hammer of construction as it's being expanded. Shrete points. Look, they're building and we can't even access our land, he says. And they have water 24 hours a day, he adds. In the established Israeli settlements, also illegal under international law, the taps don't run dry. That's largely because they're connected into the Israeli water grid. Palestinian cities and towns are not. Interim peace accords back in the 1990s, which were only supposed to last 5 years but are still in effect today, gave Israel control over 80% of the West Bank's water reserves. The allocations in the agreements just aren't enough water for the Palestinians, especially as the population has nearly doubled in the past 30 years. This forces the Palestinian Authority to purchase water from Israel. And Palestinians need Israel's permission for virtually any building, meaning that the Palestinian Authority cannot build a cohesive water grid in the West Bank or even repair leaky pipelines. All of this has caused a major disparity. A study published by B'Tselem last year found that Israeli settlers on average use 3 times as much water as Palestinians in the West Bank. But since October 7th, Palestinians say it's gotten worse.
What we feel is, of course, yes, there is much less water. That's a fact. We know and we feel it.
Ayman Rabi is the executive director of the Palestinian Hydrology Group, an independent organization focused on water access in the West Bank. Water officials across the West Bank estimate that the water has been cut on average 35% since October 7th. But Rabi says it's hard to know why.
What is the ground of this kind of shortage and cut? It's difficult to say.
The Palestinian Water Authority says Israel has been prioritizing Israeli settlements and reducing the amount of water for the Palestinians. The Israeli agency in charge of Palestinian affairs has denied any reduction in water flow, placing the blame on the Palestinian Authority. But throughout the West Bank, Palestinians are increasingly thirsty. In Ramallah, the biggest city, almost every building has big plastic tanks on the roof, a way to store water when it does flow to use when it doesn't. Samir Alshani sells those water tanks in Ramallah. On the day we visit, he's getting a new shipment of 10 delivered. He says they'll sell in less than an hour. And sure enough, Abdel Jawad Iwais walks in and buys 3. He already has 2 tanks at home. That was enough in past years. But this year, he needs more. The water comes so infrequently.
Oh, yeah, this year is much worse, yeah. This year, you know, once a week we get the water, you know, 3-4 hours and that's it.
Iwais is Palestinian-American, born and raised in Cleveland. But he moved back here with his kids in 2013.
Definitely after October 7, the water decreased a lot. You know, we noticed that, you know, not just me, everybody, the whole neighborhood, you know.
It's not just the tanks he has to buy to make up for it. He's bought a pump and other infrastructure. It costs a lot.
Well, at least $1,000.
He says he's lucky he can afford it. He knows a lot of people here can't. Adham Nasser owns a shop in downtown Ramallah selling awnings. He lives in a village outside of town. His family hasn't had running water in 1 month, he says. I ask him, what does he do? We wait for God's relief, he says. He worries that in the future, there will be no water for them at all. And then but people are dying in Gaza, he says, so let them cut our water. That's a sentiment you hear a lot from Palestinians in the West Bank since the war began. As difficult as life gets, at least it's not Gaza. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Ramallah.